Welcome to Boston Private Perspectives. My name is Jen Dowd. I'm a marketing director here at Boston Private. As you may know, October is National Security Awareness Month, which is a collaborative effort between government and industry to raise awareness about the importance of cybersecurity and to ensure that all Americans have the resources they need to be safer and be more secure online. So today I'm joined by Jilly Shaw, who's Information Security Assurance Analyst at Boston Private, and she's also a certified information systems security professional. Welcome, Jilly.
Thank you for having me.
So today, I'm excited to have a conversation with you about the four tips that tend to be threats for business owners. Top things to keep in mind. Is ransomware a good place to start?
Sure. I mean, that is the hot topic for the past like 5 years. Everyone always has questions about ransomware. What people usually talk about when they say ransomware is something called cryptovirus. Because ransomware itself could be a multitude of different types of malware. It's really just the extortion of money that makes it ransomware. Cryptoviruses are the ones that get into a file system, get onto a hard drive, what have you, and then they encrypt all your files and someone gives you a message that says, pay me 8 Bitcoin or you're never, which is actually a ridiculous amount of money now. I think 8 Bitcoin is like thousands upon thousands of dollars. Or you'll never see these files again. People are usually very frightened of ransomware to the point where they ignore a lot of other types of malware that could be more dangerous. There's a multitude of different versions of various cryptoviruses and ransomware, one of which came out around this time a couple years ago. It was called Pumpkin Locky. It was a variant of Locky. And I remember someone had tweeted Pumpkin Spice Locky, and it cracks me up even to this day. It's one of my favorites.
Fall classic.
Yes. Really, there are ways to protect yourself against cryptoviruses. One of which is train, and this is, I'm going to bring up multiple times today, but training and educating your end users is extremely important, because you can spend all the money in the world making your environment extremely difficult to hack into, but if one of your employees picks up a USB stick on the street and just plugs it in, like, it's in. It's right. Past all the defenses. So educating your end users not to click on links, not to go to suspicious websites, keep their antivirus up to date, not open suspicious attachments and emails.
Yeah.
Those sorts of things. And that ties into the next topic that I want to talk about, which is phishing and spoofing. So phishing emails, most people know, is when someone, essentially a malicious entity, tries to trick end users into clicking on links, sending them information, like opening an attachment, what have you. The most famous were back in the old days. Anyone remember the Nigerian prince scams? Of like, oh, I'm a Nigerian prince. That's like a long lost relative of yours. And I want to give you millions of dollars. I just need you to send me like 5,000.
Right. Because who doesn't have a relative in the vast lands that are princes and princesses and royal entities?
So that was it's a very classic scam of a phishing campaign. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everyone's seen them. Well, they've evolved over time to the point where now they're actually quite sophisticated, but at their core, they're the same thing. So there's different types of phishing, some of which is vishing, which is one that happens over a phone. Traditional phishing, which is a mass campaign where one email gets sent to a bunch of different people. Whaling, where it targets high-level executives. And then spear phishing, where the campaign targets specific individuals. Those are some of the hardest to identify because they are tailor-made to you rather than just a generic email that could apply to 5 billion people.
Okay.
So the protection against those kinds of threats, again, you could go with the tools that are out there. There are a lot of anti-phishing services out there. But really, you have to focus on the end user. you have to train them and educate them and make them aware of what kind of attacks are out there and keep an eye on what is targeting your particular organization. And then also make sure that they know how to identify phishing emails when they receive it and what to do about it. Like, have a procedure in place that says, if you receive a suspicious email, this is who you send it to. This is how you submit an incident report, whatever your organization may need. But make sure that people know how to look at an email, say, huh, this looks weird. I'm not expecting someone to send me a Google Doc. Let me send it to my security department and see what's going on.
So again, the importance for business owners is, and those in decision-making positions at businesses, is training your employees, making them aware of the risks that tend to come across.
Yeah, really, your employees are your weakest link, which we never want to think of them as that because we want to trust the people that work for us and work with us. But humans are human. They make mistakes. They fall victim to social engineering attacks.
Right.
They make weak passwords, things along those lines. And you can't necessarily pay money to make someone better at identifying phishing emails.
Right.
As you could, say, buying a better firewall.
So the technology you can put in place can only take you so far.
Yeah.
So you mentioned weak passwords. I know that's a hot topic.
Yes, that is. Certainly, if you want to laugh, there are plenty of videos on YouTube that go about how people can be socially engineered to give up their passwords. Now, weak passwords, it's because we want to create a password that we can remember. We all have 50 gazillion passwords that we have because every website we go to needs a separate password. And after a while, you start either using the same one across multiple platforms, or you use your dog's name with the date of when you were hired, or your kid's name with their birthday, what have you. But the thing is those particular elements are easy to get from just a simple search of your social media platforms.
Right.
Or a simple conversation. And because of that, having weak passwords is very... people can then just pretend to be your employee, guess the password, and get in. And then once they get in, then they have access to your network and can start messing around with stuff.
Got it.
So one way to prevent that is, again, train your end users on how to create strong, secure passwords. Provide them with a tool like a password vault. There are multiple out there. They're all good. Just pick one, really. You could choose to use multi-factor authentication as opposed to single-factor authentication. So multi-factor authentication is two or more of three different things. Something you have, something you know, and something you are. Something you know is like a password. Something you have is like a token. And then something you are is like a biometric, like a fingerprint. And two or more of those three things constitutes multi-factor authentication, which is more secure. So it's not just someone guessing your password. They also need to have your fingerprint. It's not just knowing what your password is. They also need to have your cell phone because you're going to get a PIN sent to it. So it just makes it that much harder for someone to get in.
Right.
And that's really the best ways to combat weak passwords.
So enabling your employees to have multiple ways of authenticating into particularly secure areas or your environment in general.
So not really necessarily multiple ways of authenticating. It's more multiple steps to authenticating.
Great.
Yeah.
So can you touch on other internal threats that people should keep in mind as they're trying to keep their business secure?
Yeah. So again, no one really wants to think of their employees as a threat to the company, but humans are humans. And it doesn't necessarily have to be malicious. It could also be someone simply doing an error. In a, not this company, but a previous company that I worked at, we had somebody who was updating, I think, a name in like an AD, and they fell asleep on the keyboard and crashed the whole directory.
That's a poorly timed nap.
Yes. It didn't end well for that particular individual. So it could be something as simple as that.
Right.
Or it could be someone who has a grudge against the company, or someone who was just offered a lot of money. And you have to protect yourselves from those individuals. And it's hard because you're allowing them into your network to do their job. Mm-hmm. They need the access to perform their job. So what you do to prevent that is you take steps that are more technical or procedural. You can segment your network. You can limit the amount of admins that you have in your environment. Monitor people with privileged access more than people who have regular access. Or it could be having someone needs multiple steps in order to complete a workflow. Someone who writes the check isn't the one who approves it and signs off on it.
Right.
So the more people you have in a workflow, the harder it is for an insider to steal from that particular workflow, either through intellectual property, money, or a product, depending on what kind of business you work in. And so really with those kind of threats and with the previous ones, you can't just rely on technology, mm-hmm. even though there are some great products out there. It's a mix of four different types of controls. You got to look at, there's the technical controls. There's the operational controls, which is like the adjusting your workflows. There's the administrative controls, which is setting procedures, policies, and educating your end users. And then there's the physical controls, which are things like limiting the how many people can actually access your physical area. So it's a mix of all of those types of controls that you need to implement in order to protect your company as a whole.
Great. So, of course, great things to think about with October being National Cybersecurity Awareness Month, but of course, something that you should be thinking about as you run your business throughout the year.
Yeah. And of course, it depends on what kind of business you have, how much you invest in your security program. But you have to realize that even the smallest companies could be victim to this. Because if you have a point of sale system, that's an entry point into your environment, your network, your Wi-Fi, your accounting software. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of different ways in, and you just have to take a look at it and be like, okay, this is my risk. What's worth me looking into mm-hmm. and me investing in?
Yep. Great. Well, thanks, Julia. These are really four great topics for folks to kind of keep in mind. We've got a lot of really great resources on bostonprivate.com that your team has pulled together. If you go to bostonprivate.com/secure, also if you follow Boston Private on LinkedIn, Twitter, or Facebook, we'll also be promoting a lot of the materials and resources that have come out of the team here at Boston Private throughout the month. I'd also encourage you to subscribe to the Boston Private Perspectives podcast. Listen to us on SoundCloud, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. Julie, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today.
No problem.